I want to talk about a card game that's new to me called Anomia, Kendall Jenner, and my favorite Hasidic writer, the Netivot Shalom, and how it relates to this parsha of Vayishlach, in which Jacob and Esav meet again after being apart for quite a long time. So Anomia is sort of a like a competitive Trivial Pursuit game in that, you know, you deal out cards in a circle, and there were four of us, my nieces, my sister, and I were playing, and there's certain symbols on the cards, and when your symbol matches somebody else's cards, you have to come up with a description of whatever word is on that card. So, for example, if the word was clown, you have to come up with, I don't know, who's a famous clown? Can you think of one? Huh? Topo Zishu is a famous clown. Excellent. Beautiful. I didn't even know that, and that was one of the ones that I did not get, because I saw the symbol was there, I got clown, and I sort of went buh, 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 buh. But another one showed up, and it was a model, fashion model. And I have no idea. I mean, I lost, because you have to race and try to come up with the other term before the other person does. I thought of Cindy Crawford, but that was as far as I got. And I realize, you know, I'm fully aware that I am hopelessly ignorant of a lot of pop culture. Maybe that's what's good for a rabbi. I don't know. But every so often, I feel like I should know a little bit more, because, you know, it's important to a lot of people, and it's important to be connected with what's happening in the world and to know it. So that meant that today, you know, I was looking on my little news feed, and I decided to look. It's always like some sort of People magazine thing that I never look at. And I decided, okay, I'm going to know next time when I play against my nieces, I'm going to know who a clown is and who a fashion model is. And so there was Kendall Jenner. And I sort of recognized the Jenner's name, though I didn't know they were connected with the Kardashians, who I think are famous just because they're the Kardashians and they haven't actually contributed in any way to the common wheel. I don't know. Anyway. So I mean that, and Kendall, apparently, over this whole Thanksgiving, all of her family's been showing off pictures of their babies. Babies are cute. Who can say no? And she, of course, is 23 and doesn't have any kids. And the picture of her is her just lying there poolside. This is down in Palm Springs. And she says, well, the real point of life is to have inner peace. I thought, all right, well, that's interesting. I'm not convinced that the whole point of life is inner peace. But let's say Kendall Jenner is correct. Well, how do we get there from here? And that, at least, is something I can talk about, right? That is connected to Vayishlach. And it's connected very nicely to a very interesting thing that the Netivot Shalom, the Slonimer Rebbe of the Satmar sect, teaches us about Vayishlach. And he always, it's a notion in Hasidic thought in general, but he always drives it forward that the Torah is always connected to our life. It's not just a book of history. It is eternal, and therefore any description, even if it looks like it's historical, has some connection to us. Because you read about Jacob, it seems the entire thing about Jacob's life is he's always struggling. The guy can't really get a break. And yes, Abraham had his trials and Isaac had his trials, but as the Netivot Shalom sees it, it's not persistent, right? Isaac has long periods that the Torah doesn't record at all, because you just assume he's just living a nice middle-class shepherd life, you know, doing whatever middle-class shepherds in that day and age do, right? But Jacob is constant. He comes into the world, right, wrestling, you know, inside of his mother's womb, trying to get out first to get that birthright, which he then has to wrestle with and struggle and play all sorts of tricks to get. And it forces him, of course, to leave home. He ends up in his uncle's house, Laban's, for 20 years, where he is hoodwinked one time after another. And he's always struggling to try to just get through his day. And so the Slonimer says that this actually is the reason that the Torah is telling us all this. It's not because it's out there. It's not because it's just this piece of history. It's our life also. And he draws forth a sort of interesting notion about two of the main struggles in Jacob's life, one being Esav and the other being Laban. And the way he views them using Midrashic sources that we don't need to plunge really deep in with those is that Esav is really all about physical desire. This is a guy who sells the birthright, the spiritual gift, for a bowl full of food, for its appetites. This is a guy who's a hunter, outdoorsman. It's all about desire, etc. And Laban, meanwhile, is about the life of the mind, but also using the mind, you know, in a way to get what you want. Because Laban, of course, is even more of a trickster than Jacob is. Jacob has to work very hard to try to get anything. He's supposed to marry, you know, the younger daughter. He gets 14 years for, anyway, you know the story. And so what the Netivot Shalom wants us to think about, right, is that if we're going to make it in this world, and there is this aspect of struggle that we all have, the two main areas where we struggle are in the physical realm and the mental realm, right? Physical realm, whether it is against certain addictive behaviors or appetites or focusing getting more and more money so you can get more and more stuff that doesn't necessarily address the deeper challenges of life. Nothing wrong with any of these things in bits and pieces. And Laban is about the way we end up often rationalizing our mind and get caught in circles. And the way he looks at it is that Laban isn't just tricking Jacob, he's trying to steal Jacob's faith. Using this verse in the Torah that these children, all of the children, all of them are mine. In other words, none of it came from God. None of it came out of your efforts. It's all from me. And in other words, if our faith and the way we think about the world is off, we're going to fail in those struggles. And if we can't master our appetites in the physical realm, we're going to fall there also. And Jacob, therefore, represents the ways in which all of us have these issues. And that if we can keep our faith strong, and we can therefore overcome these struggles that we have. But here's where it brings us back to Kendall Jenner. Because one of the things that the Netivot Shalom pointed out to me that I didn't really think about is that every time Jacob has a struggle and overcomes it, he gets a little bit of space. The Hebrew word is like revachim. And if you think about it, our struggles, when we're in the midst of them, constrict our lives. They become like all we can see, and all we're focused on is what's bugging us. And it is the way we overcome those struggles that you get a sort of psychic space around you. You get a little opening. You get that inner peace that Kendall Jenner was talking about. And I think ultimately, at a time like Thanksgiving, a time of gratitude, you can't automatically just have gratitude. It is a practice. And it is a Jewish notion that we struggle to master ourselves, that the ultimate art project in this life for which we give thanks is how we ourselves go through our days and how well we stand up to the trials and tribulations that every one of us have. And it's okay to struggle, because when we succeed, we get that moment, we see the world a little bit bigger, and the next struggle, we still take in that greater breadth of insight and space that we carry with us through our lives. So, I wish you all, don't throw tomatoes at me, many struggles for the capacity to keep your faith strong, so that you can remember the direction you're going and overcome them. Ken Yehi Ratzon.